Let's dive into it tonight. That's enough announcement. Dive into it this evening. As we're looking at this subject of study on Sunday evenings, Bible study, subject of study, whatever you want to call it. But we've been looking at this subject of study, of things that are hard to get over. Things that are hard to get over. And as you're thinking about that title of the subject study, let me ask you a question. What comes to your mind as something that's a little bit hard to get over? Maybe a difficulty or hurt even. What's something you think is hard to get over as a believer? Anybody? Or just as a person in general? Loss, grieving, absolutely. It is very hard. It is very hard, especially if you know that individual who did pass away did not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's what's really difficult, at least for me, and it is very difficult. But those that do know the Lord that pass on, we do sorrow. Make no mistake about it. We weep, we cry, we are brokenhearted. But we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. I'm thankful we have hope in Christ and hope of heaven and the promise of that. Anybody else, what comes to mind? Something that's hard to get over. Not impossible, but hard. Yes, sir. Regret? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There was a guy that wanted to go get a tattoo done. And on it, he wanted no regrets on his shoulder, tattooed. But it came out as no regrets. He regretted that decision anyway. Regret is absolutely, can be hard. But I'm thankful for the promise of God and the grace of God and mercy of God that allows us to move forward from those things. We don't have to live in the past. That's where regret lives. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Hurt? Oh, yeah. Family hurt, and especially church hurt. That's some of the hardest ones. It really is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? Deception? It can be, for sure. For sure. Failure? Yes. I'm thankful I've never failed in my life. I don't know what that feels like. We all face failure. There's no doubt about that. And again, I'm thankful for the mercy and grace of God that allows us to move forward from those things and to move forward in faith and by faith and with the Lord. And again, failure stays in the past. The devil likes to bring it up in the present and, of course, the future, but it stays back there. All right. Anybody else? Quickly. Yes. Children. Again, that'd be family hurt. Wayward children. It's hard to move forward, move on from. But I think moving on might not be the right phraseology there, but battling that, I think we battle that, should battle that on our knees. As I'm thinking of the prodigal son in the Scripture and the Word of God, I believe that father no doubt prayed for his wayward son to come back home one day. And it ended up having to be that son himself endured some hurt of his own making, of his own decisions. That was a consequence of his own actions. But he had to endure some hurt for him to come to himself, is what the Bible says. Had to come to himself. But I believe the father was no doubt praying for his wayward son. I think that's what we should be doing as well as parents, grandparents. You got a wayward child, a wayward grandchild. Hey, look, pray for them specifically and earnestly pray. God does more through our prayers than we can ever do through our own words. So please pray. Please pray. All right. Anybody else real quick? Anxiety? Yes. That's actually one we're going to be looking at very soon. There are a lot of people who do struggle with anxiety, worry, anxiety. And it is hard for some people to overcome and to get victory over. But the Bible is clear on that. When Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall put on, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Even your Heavenly Father knows what needs you have before you ask. I think we have a God who knows the need. Before we ask Him, He knows what's on our hearts and minds. I'm thankful for that. But it is something that people do struggle with. And depression is another one. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even believers struggle with this. And some don't know how to move on with it and from it. And that's something that I've dealt with individuals about on a personal level. And seeing their struggle with that, trying to help them through that. So I've learned myself through some of that. But that's something we'll tackle in the coming weeks. It is. All right. Anything else? One more thing. The past. Yeah. So your past, as in maybe somebody lied about you, ruined your reputation or whatever. Well, you got to find better friends than Eddie, for one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Eddie. I love you, Eddie. You know that. But but no, again, the past is something that can be forgiven and we can move on from. And the devil likes to hang that over our heads. Evil men and seducers like to hang that over our heads to try to keep us back and to keep us down. But again, when God forgives you of that, He forgets it. You may not, your enemies may not, even your past may not. But understand, God does. He forgets it. He chooses not to remember it anymore. And so your sin that may be lingering over your head as far as guilt goes, that way of it, is forgiven. If you have confessed your sin to God, He has forgiven your sin. He's forgiven it for Jesus' sake. So we can move on with that promise. Again, claiming the promises of Scripture and practicing those, that helps us move on from these different things that we struggle with. And so this is good. So this helps me to know that I think we're studying the right thing on Sunday evenings, because we all deal with something that we have a hard time moving on from and getting over. And so I think we're on the right track. But anyway, so let's go to 1 Peter tonight, all right? 1 Peter chapter number 4 is where we'll be. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And before we read it and dive into it again, I want us to pray one more time, all right? Again, Father, we're thankful for the privilege to be here this evening. And as we come to Your Word, I pray that You'd rest our attention, grab our attention, help us to focus in on the Word of God, and help us to see this truth tonight. When we face times that are just simply unfair, and how do we respond to those? And how do we move on from those? Help us, I pray. Give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right. As we move forward, we come to 1 Peter chapter 4 in our study. And I'd like for us to consider another difficulty, another hurt that could come our way. And this could come from family or foe, all right? This could come from unbeliever, even a believer. But it's in the matter of this. It's a matter of when life just isn't fair. Or as one person put it, when you face injustice, all right? When life is just simply not fair, what do you do? Now, I'll be honest with you. I really don't like the word or really the phrase, especially at least for my kids, all right? I don't like this phrase. Hey, that's not fair. And I'm like, hey, I don't care. You know, any other parent out there like, I'm just mean, all right? That's what I tell them. Daddy, why do you do that? I'm just so mean. That's why Daddy did that. But that's just not fair. I remember I remember Josie. She's not in here. I can make fun of her. I remember Josie. I think her and Neely were having a race or something. And of course, Neely just blew her out of the water and won the race, you know. And she gets at the end of where they're racing to, and she's like, that's just not fair. I'm like, what's not fair? She beat me. Well, of course she beat you. She's older. She's faster. Her legs are longer. She gets her height from her daddy. All right? Yeah, anyway, I'm just kidding. Why are you laughing? But no, she's got longer legs. Of course she can run faster than you, Josie. Of course it's not fair. Of course not. Of course it's not fair, darling, because she's older than you and she's going to beat you. But keep it up. One day you'll beat her, all right? But of course it's not. Well, we go through life sometimes and think it's just simply not fair. And understand something. I think we'd all agree to this. Life is not fair. There are a few things in life that's guarantees. This is one of them. That life is not going to be exactly fair. Why? Because you live in an imperfect world full of imperfect people. That's why it's not fair. Even our churches today, even Bowling Springs, is made up of imperfect people. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but we're all broken and we're all imperfect. And so sometimes we may not intentionally do this, but we don't treat each other fair sometimes. You know that? Why? Because, well, we're imperfect. It may not be on purpose, but it happens. And so since we're going to face these times in our life of when it ain't fair, of when, you know, just facing some injustice or whatever we may call it, since we're going to face these times of life, how can we thrive through them? How can we glorify Christ through them? How can we show love to others through them? How can we respond and move forward and get over when life is not fair? How can we do that? Now, when you think of that phrase of life's not fair, who comes to your mind, or what passage of Scripture or person in Scripture comes to your mind? Maybe a person or an event. What comes to mind? Someone tell me. Joseph. Absolutely. Me too. Absolutely. Betrayed by his own brothers. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. Of course not. He was thrown into prison because of a lie of Potiphar's wife. It wasn't fair. He dealt with it from the moment his brothers betrayed him all the way up until finally the butler remembered him and he was elevated to second in command of all of Egypt. It just wasn't fair, right? Who else comes to mind or event? Absolutely. The Lord Jesus Christ. Number one right there. Everything he went through and suffered human thinking standpoint, at least, it was not fair. Didn't do anything to deserve it. But yet he went through it all. Why? For you and me. Because we needed a Savior. We needed a Messiah. We needed Jesus. Who else comes to mind? Job? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Job was such a man who was so godly that he walked with God, that God could trust this man by sticking the devil on him like a dog. All right? He said, yeah, you considered Job? Hey, Satan, you considered my servant Job? Oh, man, I hope you don't do that with me. It makes me a little nervous, you know? Or you, right? But have you considered him? No, nobody like him. He eschews evil. He's just upright dude. This is a good man. You ever thought about him? But Job went through some very unfair times of life, losing his family, losing his finances, losing his farm. Lost it all. Wasn't fair. Who else comes to mind? Yeah, David and his loving father-in-law Saul, absolutely. Wasn't fair. Who else? Stephen, first martyr in Scripture, New Testament. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Even prayed for his enemies while he's dying. Good testimony. Anybody else? I think of, here's one you may not think of, but I think of Barabbas. Wasn't fair for a murderer to get off. He should have went to the cross that day. Wasn't fair. But Jesus took his place. I'll preach. I'm thankful that Jesus took my place. He took yours as well. It wasn't fair for him to do that. He didn't deserve it, but he did it. He did it. But as I come to Scripture, a portion of Scripture where I think that believers were treated unfairly, I come to 1 Peter chapter number 4. Because it's here in 1 Peter chapter 4 we find believers, scattered believers by the way, who are facing some of the most unfair and brutal treatment in all of history. And this treatment was unmerited. This treatment, they didn't deserve it. This treatment that they got, they did nothing wrong to get it. They were literally on the short end of the stick and they were suffering terribly. So look at it with me, 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at we'll start in verse number 12, and we'll go down through the end of the chapter. All right? 1 Peter chapter 4. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Meaning this, what in the world is going on here? Anybody ever been in those moments? What did I do to deserve this? What am I going to do now? You ever been there? That's what he's saying. Some strange thing. Well, this came out of nowhere. Some strange thing happened unto you. All right. Verse 13. "But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Understand, Peter is writing to very, very much persecuted believers. They were scattered abroad, away from their hometown, away from Jerusalem, scattered throughout different cities and countries at this time because of the great persecution under the hand of Nero, who was a very violent man, brutal man. They had to flee for their lives. They were being treated harshly and desperately unfair. So what do? When life's unfair. Number one, I want to see this evening. Number one, understand. We know this a little bit. I'll hurry through this one. But understand the reality of it. Okay? Now, I wish I could say that when you go through life, everything will be peachy keen. Okay? Everybody know what that means, right? Everything's going to be good. You have no difficulties. But if I said that, I'll be lying. I don't want to lie to you. At least not on purpose. I wish I could say that if you do everything right, everybody would be in your corner and be happy about it. But again, I'd be lying. Now, the truth of the matter is, no matter how good we are or how well you may treat others, listen, you still will be treated unfairly. It's a reality in which we live. The Bible says this in Job chapter 5, verse number 7, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Luke 17, 1, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come." He's looking at his own that he loves so dear. He said, "Man, look, here's a guarantee for you. Offenses, you're going to be offended. It's coming." John chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world," Jesus speaking again to his disciples, "in the world you shall have tribulation." John 15, 20, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And again, in our text, look at it. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial," here it is, "which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." In this portion of Scripture, God uses very plain language and lets us know as believers there is fiery trials that will try us. Now, I believe as Peter's writing, he is using this not just in a figurative sense, but even in a more literal sense. Because keep in mind who it is that's persecuting the believers at this time. It is that cruel tyrant of a leader. His name's Nero. And if you remember, I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but if you remember, Nero, when he would persecute believers, what he would do is he would capture them. He would round them up. He would impale them upon a pole. He would put some kind of accelerant on their bodies of tar of some sort and light them on fire. He would do that in the Colosseums for fun. And he would do it as well for his drunken parties at night in his gardens to keep them lit. He'd light them on fire. So when Peter's talking about the fiery trial, which is to try you, he wasn't necessarily being figurative. I think he was being literal. Now, for us today, this is more or less figurative than literal. But still, the trials do come. There is a reality. It's going to happen. Because here, Peter says, really, the Lord says, which is. He didn't say if it's going to come. He said it might come. No, he says which is to come. Understand, difficulty, trial, life that's not fair will come. They come. And it's unfair. But it happens. It happens. But also keep in mind that when those unfair times come, they are not wasted. Please know that. They're not wasted. They come into our lives for our sake. They come to our lives for our good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we wear that thing out sometimes, but I don't think we can wear it out enough. Because here's what the Bible says. And we know that all things work together for good. Listen, it's still there. It's still in the Word of God that all things work together for good. Even those hard times, even those times that are so unfair, it's not right. Of course it's not right. But God allowed it to happen for your good. You know, if you were to take over the construction of your life, let me ask you this. Meaning you are the master builder of your life. Would you put anything in your life that would cause you pain? Anybody love pain? You just love pain. Anybody? So we're all normal here? Okay, good. All right, just wondering. You know, anybody out there might love pain. Okay, that's weird. You know, but no. I think we all, most of us, would like comfort. We like heat in the winter. We like air conditioning in the summer. And sometimes when it's too hot in the winter, we like air conditioning in the winter. You know, we like comfort. We like it. We like comfort. So if we would take care of the construction of our life, we would never, ever, ever, ever put anything in our lives that would cause us any kind of pain whatsoever. We want no pain, no problems, no sorrow, no disappointment, no heartache, no trouble, no pressure whatsoever. But that's not how we're built strong. Strength doesn't come from comfort times. Strength comes from pressurized times. Strength comes from pain. A blacksmith, when he's making steel tools, they have a process that's called heat treat. All right, you got to heat treat that thing. That means that sucker's so hot, you put it down in that oil, and it comes out flaming. It's a heat treat. Why? Because it makes it harder. It makes it stronger. And that's why. When a broken bone, when someone breaks their bone, it heals back. I've been told that it heals back stronger than it was before it was broken. But in order to get stronger, it had to be broken. You know what that took? It took some pain. They didn't ask for it to be broken, but it was going to be back and come back stronger. You know, when you get stronger, your muscles, you build muscles and get stronger that way. That comes through strenuous exercise. And that strenuous exercise, it don't always feel good. It don't. It don't always feel good. There's going to be some pain. No pain, no gain, right? And that's what happens. But in order to get some muscles, you got to work that muscle out. You got to tear that muscle down in order to build that muscle back up. In order to get stronger, but it's going to take some pain to get there. And so it is in our lives as well, as we go through difficulties, pain, trial, fires of life. When life is not fair, understand something. It will and can make us stronger for God, especially as we trust Him through those times. What did Job say? He said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." What was he saying there? Job, you lost everything, man. You lost your family. You lost your finances. You lost your farm. You lost it all. The only thing you got is the very breath you're breathing. That's it. Boy, did Job say, if God takes that away from me, I'm still going to trust Him. That mindset right there will help you overcome those unfair moments in your life and move forward. He also said this, Job 23:10, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He had tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job knew that after the trials were over, that after he moved through this dark, deep valley, that one day as he come to the mountaintop on the other end of it, he would come forth as gold in the end. So please understand, we will face injustice. We will face times when life is simply not fair. It's just not fair. And please don't think we can change that, because that's just part of life. So, it's reality. Then I want to see this, number two. Not only to see the reality of it, but I want to see the root of it. The root of it. Now, what are the causes of injustice? What are the causes of those moments when life is just simply not fair? Now, many would have different answers to this, but some would say this. Well, I'll tell you what the cause is. It's people. They're the root cause of all the injustice in life. I mean, there's some evil people out there. I mean, the Bible's plain on that. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So yeah, there's some evil, downright nasty, evil people today that do evil things. And some of those things that evil people do, I cannot wrap my brain around. I mean, their elevator don't go all the way to the top. Their cornbread ain't done in the middle. I don't know what's going on with some of these evil people in the world today. I can't imagine what goes through a person's mind. It's to purposely and get some kind of excitement and enjoyment out of hurting a little kid. But there are people out there like that. I don't get that. And I guess somebody gets that way, we can find ourselves an alibi and a shallow grave somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I probably shouldn't have said that. We are being recorded. Oh, boy. It's okay. All right, thanks. But anyway, that was completely a joke. Sarcasm is one of my spiritual gifts. Amen. All right. But I can't wrap my mind around that mindset that people have. I mean, that's just pure evil to me. I don't understand that. I don't understand people getting excitement, enjoyment out of actual murder, like just flat out that's what they want to do. I don't get that. So there are some absolute evil people out there, yes, 100%. But understand, that's not the root. That's only fruit of the root. And by the way, in our society today, some would that do wrong and commit these atrocities and injustices, they want to excuse those actions by putting blame on this. They put the blame on the past. They'll say, well, he can't help how he reacts. He can't help how he responds. He can't help the things he does because that's just how he was raised. I mean, he came out of a dysfunctional family, and his dysfunctional family caused him to behave that way. Listen, if we look back hard enough in our family, we're all dysfunctional, all right? Go back to the first family in Genesis chapter 3. That was a dysfunctional family. And they came out of Eden, all right? We all got some crazies in our family. Some of us a family tree, most of us a family shrub, all right? But there's some crazies there. We understand that. We're all dysfunctional in ways. But some folks will try to excuse that by putting the blame on the past. Well, that's how I was raised. I was abused as a child. Therefore, it caused me to abuse children. That's ridiculous. And some folks say, well, I was treated unfairly. Therefore, I treat others unfairly. But you get what I'm saying. And though our raising and our past, it has some influence on our lives, understand this and mark it down, it doesn't mean that our past gets the privilege to dictate our future. Thank you. I got one amen right there. All right. It doesn't have to dictate our future. Understand our circumstances and our culture even doesn't have to dictate our conduct. You don't get that privilege. You can control yourself. You can make up your own mind. You can make your own decision. Make your own choices. So some people say, well, what's the root of it? It's the people and their past. Well, there's some evil people and there's some nasty past. But that's not the root. That's really simple fruit. And quickly this evening, here's the root. We'll jump right to it. But the root of all this stuff is little word, three-letter little word called S-I-N, sin. Sin. What was it? What was the first crime in the world? What was it? Murder. Who did it? Cain killed Abel, his own brother. You ever want to kill your own sibling? Nope, don't raise your hand. Just kill it. Just kidding. Just kidding. Don't do that. Say, yeah, well, I've had my moments. Well, we've all have our moments, all right? But that's what he did. But why? What was the... See, that the murder was a fruit. What was the root? All right, let me read it to you. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 4 through 5. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What was the root to his? It was sin. Here's what the sin was. He was jealous. His sin was anger, wrath. But he was so jealous of his own brother that he killed him. In my personal opinion here, I don't think he took a rock and bashed his head in. My personal opinion when Cain killed his brother Abel is Cain knew what to bring before the Lord as an offering to God. He knew it took the blood of a lamb. He knew it took the blood, a sacrifice to God. That's what he knew. He knew that. His father, Adam, taught him this. They both of them knew, all right? Cain didn't come because he was ignorant with some beets and some radishes, all right? That's not because he was ignorant. He knew how to come to God. So I believe in his anger and his jealousy. Here's what I believe how he killed Abel. I believe he took a knife and cut his own brother's throat and gave him a blood sacrifice. He knew what it meant to come before God, but he didn't because there was sin, deep-rooted sin in his own heart and life. It's sin. Sin is the root to unjust or to injustice and when things are not simply fair. It's just sin. The Bible says this, Paul speaking, to the Romans in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin. Here it is. Sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's saying, look, I'm saved, man. On the inside, the Holy Spirit dwells. I desire God's Word. I desire God. He says, I find that there. But he says this, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's talking about his nasty old flesh. The sinful nature that's still there. And it's not eradicated at salvation. It's still there. That war is in our members. Why do we face injustice? Why do we face times that are just simply not fair? Because of the root of just simple sin. It's sin. It's sin. This is why. This is why, because of sin. Why we need grace. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And once a person accepts the Lord by faith and is saved by grace, God begins to make that person a new creature. Doesn't eradicate the sinful nature, but begins to make a new man, inner man, a new creature. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything becoming new. Why? Because a new man lives in you. Who is it? The Holy Spirit of God. And this is what begins to change the injustices and unfairness in life when a person comes to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and begins to follow Him and allow God to walk in the Spirit and allow God to truly control their life. But it's sin that brings about the injustices in the world. That's the root. All right. So we see the reality of it. It's there. We know. The root, man, it's sin. It's sin. And everybody needs a Savior. Nero, he needed a Savior because he's a man full of sin. He needed Jesus Christ. But thirdly, here's where I really want to settle down for the rest of the time together. I want to see this. Number three, and lastly, the response. The response to it. The response to when life just simply is not fair. Look at verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I believe there is a bit of a word of caution here. As we look at these verses, especially in verse 15, no doubt the believers who are being persecuted, they're watching their family and their friends be taken advantage of, even taken away, hauled off and killed. And maybe one of them, you know, they may have this thought. Maybe they were from southern Israel. All right? They had this thought. Ha ha! You ain't going to treat my family that way. You may know what I'm talking about. Okay. You ain't going to talk about my brother that way or my sister that way. You ain't. The only person who gets the right to kill my brother is me. All right? Amen. Anybody? Okay. You don't have that right. You ain't going to treat him that way. I'm going to get even with you. You kill my family, I'm killing yours. You steal from my family, I'm stealing from yours. Eye for an eye. It's in the Bible somewhere. You know. I can imagine that at least that thought was there in the minds of these persecuted believers. At least pass through their mind. But God, listen, God doesn't want that kind of attitude in His own children. Listen, God does not want us to react foolishly and fleshly, even when times are unfair. No, He wants us to react and respond godly. Why? Because Christians are different. They're just different. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. And some of us are a little bit more peculiar than others, but anyway. But we're peculiar people, okay? We're different. Christians should be different from the world, act different, behave different. Why? Because Christ that lives in you is different. And we should be different ourselves. Now, this does not mean we isolate ourselves. This does not mean we wear a sign around our necks and says, I'm a Christian, don't bother me. That's not how it works, all right? That's not what we're saying there. But we must remember, to honor the Lord in everything we do, even our responses to when life is not fair. But I believe the Lord is cautioning us a little bit here to be careful, to not allow the evils of the world to become part of our lives, especially when we face times of suffering, when we are most vulnerable. Understand, the world has no respect for any Christian who acts like the world. There are lost people who are acquainted with Christians, but have no respect for them because those Christians dishonor the Lord with the conduct of their lives. I've heard stories. I've heard, well, it's excuses. You know, I get that. But I don't want to give any excuse. Not freely. Let them dig a little bit and they'll find them, I'm sure. You know, we're, again, imperfect people, but don't want to freely give them anything. But I've heard them over before. But again, they have no respect. Listen, a lost person has no respect for a believer who claims to know Christ who acts just like a lost person. You know, I've heard this phrase before from believers. It's just a little sin. It's not going to hurt anyone. I'm the only one it's messing with. I'm the only one that has to suffer through this. But that's not so. There's so many people that are watching how we conduct our lives, especially on this matter when it comes to facing things. They're just simply unfair. And as you face them, let me ask you, do you respond like verse 15, or do you respond like verse 16 of our text? Because it matters. Because people are watching. I do understand as well that during the trials of life, when things are not fair, it is the most difficult to stand for the Lord and do what is right. But it is at that time too, it is the most necessary because people are watching. So I believe that Peter is giving a word of caution here and of the evils of the world during times of suffering. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Understand, the Bible didn't say here in that portion of Scripture that all Christians shall suffer persecution, but only those that live godly suffered persecution. I think there's a difference between a saved Christian and a spiritual Christian. Not all saved people are spiritual. Not all saved people are walking in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? But those that do, they're going to be treated a little different, even from other believers. But we must walk in the Spirit and live and be godly. And when you live godly, here's what that means. That God shows up in every single thing we do. In our conduct, in our conversations, what we do, where we go, what we say, everything about our life, God should be involved in it. And yes, even how we react and respond to the circumstances, the trials, the difficulties of life, it should point to Jesus Christ. Everything. People should be able to see the Lord in us, even in difficult days and times, and especially, I should say, really, especially during those times. You see, these godly believers, scattered believers, were the ones who were suffering the greatest persecution at this time. And Nero himself, trying to eradicate the name of Christ, he tried to, but instead the name of Jesus being extended beyond the regions beyond, and his fame of Christ was being spread farther throughout the lands. Why and how? Well, because of unfair treatment. So what if these believers at this moment treated unfairly, I mean, horribly. What if they had to be scattered from their own home, had to flee for their lives? What if they say, you know, this following Jesus thing, I think I'm done with that. I mean, look what it cost me. Look where it got me. It's not fair, man. I think I'm done with that. What if they did that in the regions beyond where they went and stopped spreading the good news of Jesus Christ? Understand something? We wouldn't be here today. All right? But because they responded right, because they responded in a Christ-like manner, in a godly manner, they began to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I think of Paul in that instance, at least in that thought. And Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse, well, let's just look at it. I know we've seen it before, but I'll look at it again. It's a good refresher. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and I want you to see this verse, all right? Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 12. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul is he's in prison at this moment. We know this in the book of Philippians. He wrote this from prison, house arrest kind of thing. But he was saying, look, all this stuff that's happened to me, these perils of robbers, all these terrible things that happened, the persecution, the imprisonments, all of this has happened for this purpose and for this reason. You ready? The furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest, verse 13, in all the palace and in all other places. All right. Go over a couple of pages and look at chapter 4 of Philippians. Chapter 4 of Philippians. And look at verse number 21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of, what's that next word? Caesar's household. Who was Caesar? It was Nero. Where was the palace? Well, that's where Caesar resided. So I believe in this moment, what happened to Paul, the unfair treatment that he experienced, was for this purpose. There were people in Caesar's household, including Nero himself, no doubt, needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know who it was in Caesar's household that got saved. I don't know if it was just simply the other prisoners or slaves or servants or what, maybe it was some of his own family. I don't know. But somebody in that household got saved. But that they would have never heard the gospel and got saved had it not been for the unfair treatment of Paul. So please understand. When we have that kind of response to the unfair treatment, that we're going to continue to give out the gospel, we're going to continue to walk with God, we're going to continue to be godly, God will use that. So maybe that's why sometimes we face those moments. Because somebody needs to see Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, because they need that hope of glory as well. I don't like it either. I don't like unfair times. I don't like it. You look at it and say, that's not right. Well, of course it's not right. We don't have to go get vengeance on it and revenge on it. No, God will do that. We just need to simply continue to walk with Him. Continue to give out the gospel. Continue to be godly and Christ-like. Continue to walk with God. And let God have His great work through our lives and even through that unfair treatment. Let that be a response that we have. I never said you have to like it. I'll say it over and over. You don't have to. But we need to respond right. We need to respond right. So, we see this when life is not fair. It's something that some people have a hard time getting over. And they get stuck there. They don't move forward from it. They just stay there. And you know what happens when you get stuck in a place when things, you're treated unfairly? You know what happens in your life? Here's what's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to be slap bitter. And ain't nobody going to be around you. Bitter people are some of the hardest people to be around because they never got over when they were treated unfairly. So I encourage you to respond right. And in that response, it's going to be some forgiveness to be given and even received. It's another response to it. So you don't end up bitter. Don't end up bitter. So how do you want to respond when life treats you unfairly?